Granny Weatherwax went back downstairs and pulled her rocking chair closer to the fire. There was something there, she told herself, lurking away in the child's mind. She didn't like to think about what it was, but she remembered what had happened to the wolves. And all that about lighting fires with magic. Wizards did that. It was one of the first things they learned. Granny sighed. There was only one way to be sure, and she was getting rather old for this sort of thing. She picked up the candle and went out through the scullery into the lean-to that housed her goats. They watched her without fear, each sitting in its pen like a furry blob, three mouths working rhythmically on the day's hay. The air smelled warm and slightly flatulent. Up in the rafters was a small owl, one of a number of creatures who found that living with Granny was worth the occasional inconvenience. It came to her hand at a word, and she stroked its bullet head thoughtfully as she looked for somewhere comfortable to lie. A pile of hay it would have to be. She blew out the candle and lay back, with the owl perched on her finger. The goats chewed, burped, and swallowed their way through their cosy night. It made the only sound in the building. Granny's body stilled. The owl felt her enter its mind and graciously made room. Granny knew she would regret this. Borrowing twice in one day would leave her good for nothing in the morning, and with a terrible desire to eat mice. Of course, when she was younger, she thought nothing of it, running with the stags, hunting with the foxes, learning the strange dark ways of the moles, hardly spending a night in her own body. But it was getting harder now, especially coming back. Maybe the time would come when she couldn't get back. Maybe the body back home would be so much dead flesh. And maybe that wouldn't be such a bad way of it, but that. This was the sort of things wizards could never know. If it occurred to them to enter a creature's mind, they'd do it like a thief, not out of wickedness, but because it simply wouldn't occur to them to do it any other way. The daft buggers. And what good would it do to take over an owl's body? You couldn't fly. You needed to spend a lifetime learning. But the gentle way was to ride in its mind, steering it as gently as a breeze stirs a leaf. The owl stirred, fluttered up onto the little windowsill, and glided silently into the night. The clouds had cleared, and the thin moon made the mountains gleam. Granny peered out through the owl eyes as she sped silently between the ranks of trees. This was the only way to travel, once a body had the way of it. She liked borrowing birds best of all, using them to explore the high hidden valleys where no one went, the secret lakes between black cliffs, the tiny walled fields on the scraps of flat ground, tucked on the sheer rock faces that were the property of hidden and secretive beings. Once she had ridden with the geese that passed over the mountains every spring and autumn, and she had got the shock of her life when she nearly went beyond range of returning. The owl broke out of the forest and skimmed across the rooftops of the village, alighting on a shower of snow on the biggest apple tree in Smith's orchard. It was heavy with mistletoe. She knew she was right as soon as her claws touched the bark. The tree resented her. She could feel it trying to push her away.
"I'm not going," she thought.
In the silence of the night, the tree said,
"Bully me then, just because I'm a tree, typical woman."
"At least you're useful now," thought Granny. "Better a tree than a wizard, eh?"
"It's not such a bad life," thought the tree. "Sun, fresh air, time to think. Bees, too, in the spring."
There was something lascivious about the way the tree said bees that quite put Granny, who had several hives, off the idea of honey. It was like being reminded that eggs were unborn chickens.
"I've come about the girl, Esk," she hissed.
"A promising child," thought the tree. "I'm watching her with interest. She likes apples, too."
"You beast,"
said Granny, shocked.
What did I say? Pardon me for not breathing, I'm sure.
Granny sidled closer to the trunk.
You must let her go, she thought. The magic is starting to come through.
Already? I'm impressed, said the tree.
It's the wrong sort of magic, screeched Granny. It's wizard magic, not women's magic. She doesn't know what it is yet, but it killed a dozen wolves tonight.
Great,
said the tree. Granny hooted with rage.
Great? Supposing she'd been arguing with her brothers and lost her temper, eh?
The tree shrugged. Snowflakes cascaded from its branches.
Then you must train her,
it said.
Train? What do I know from training wizards?
Then send her to university.
She's female,
hooted Granny, bouncing up and down on her branch.
Well, who says women can't be wizards?
Granny hesitated. The tree might as well have asked why fish couldn't be birds. She drew a deep breath and started to speak, and stopped. She knew a cutting, incisive, withering, and above all, a self-evident answer existed. It was just that to her extreme annoyance, she couldn't quite bring it to mind.
Women have never been wizards. It's against nature. You might as well say that witches can be men.
If you define a witch as one who worships the pancreative urge, that is, venerates the basic...
The tree began and continued for several minutes. Granny Weatherwax listened in impatient annoyance to phrases like
Mother Goddesses
and
Primitive Moon Worship
and told herself that she was well aware of what being a witch was all about. It was about herbs and curses and flying around of nights and generally keeping on the right side of tradition, and it certainly didn't involve mixing with goddesses, mothers or otherwise, who apparently got up to some very questionable tricks. And when the tree started talking about
dancing naked,
she tried not to listen, because although she was aware that somewhere under her complicated strata of vests and petticoats there was some skin, that didn't mean to say she approved of it. The tree finished its monologue. Granny waited until she was quite sure that it wasn't going to add anything, and said,
That's witchcraft, is it?
Its theoretical basis, yes.
You wizards certainly get some funny ideas,
the tree said.
Not a wizard anymore, just a tree.
Granny ruffled her feathers.
Well, just you listen to me, Mr. So-called theoretical basis tree. If women were meant to be wizards, they'd be able to grow long white beards, and she's not going to be a wizard. Is that quite clear? Wizardry is not the way to use magic, do you hear? It's nothing but lights and fire and meddling with power, and she'll be having no part of it, and good night to you.
The owl swooped away from the branch. It was only because she wouldn't interfere with the flying that Granny wasn't shaking with rage.
Wizards.
They talked too much, and pinned spells down in books like butterflies. But worst of all, they thought theirs was the only magic worth practicing. Granny was absolutely certain of one thing. Women had never been wizards, and they weren't about to start now. She arrived back at the cottage in the pale shank of the night. Her body, at least, was rested after its slumber in the hay, and Granny had hoped to spend a few hours in the rocking chair, putting her thoughts in order. This was the time when night wasn't quite over, but day hadn't quite begun, when thoughts stood out bright and clear and without disguise. The staff was leaning against the wall by the dresser. Granny stood quite still.
I see, she said at last. So that's the way of it, is it? In my own house, too?
Moving very slowly, she walked over to the ingle nook, threw a couple of split logs onto the embers of the fire, and pumped the bellows until the flames roared up the chimney. When she was satisfied, she turned, muttered a few precautionary protective spells under her breath, and grabbed the staff. It didn't resist. She nearly fell over. but now she had it in her hands, and she felt the tingle of it, the distinctive thunderstorm crackle of the magic in it, and she laughed. It was as simple as this, then. There was no fight in it now. Calling down a curse upon wizards and all their works, she raised the staff above her head and brought it down with a clang across the fire dogs over the hottest part of the fire. Esk screamed. The sound bounced down through the bedroom floorboards and scythed through the dark cottage. Granny was old and tired and not entirely clear about things after a long day, but to survive as a witch requires an ability to jump to very large conclusions. And as she stared at the staff in the flames and heard the scream, her hands were already reaching for the big black kettle. She upended it over the fire, dragged the staff out of the cloud of steam, and ran upstairs, dreading what she might see. Esk was sitting up in the narrow bed, unsinged, but shrieking. Granny took the child in her arms and tried to comfort her. She wasn't sure how one went about it, but a distracted patting on the back and vague reassuring noises seemed to work, and the screams became wails and eventually sobs. Here and there, Granny could pick out words like fire and hot, and her mouth set in a thin, bitter line. Finally, she settled the child down, tucked her in, and crept quietly down the stairs. The staff was back against the wall. She was not surprised to see the fire hadn't marked it at all. Granny turned her rocking chair to face it and sat down with her chin in her hand and an expression of grim determination. Presently, the chair was the only sound in a silence that thickened and spread and filled the room like a terrible dark fog. Next morning, before Esk got up, Granny hid the staff in the thatch, well out of harm's way. Esk ate her breakfast and drank a pint of goat's milk without the least sign of the events of the last 24 hours. It was the first time she had been inside Granny's cottage for more than a brief visit, and while the old woman washed the dishes and milked the goats, she made the most of her implied license to explore. She found that life in the cottage wasn't entirely straightforward. There was the matter of the goats' names, for example.
"But they've got to have names," she said. "Everything's got a name."
Granny looked at her around the pear-shaped flanks of the head nanny, while the milk squirted into the low pail.
"I dare say they've got names in goat," she said vaguely. "What do they want names in human for?"
"Well," said Esk, and stopped. She thought for a bit.
"How do you make them do what you want, then?"
"They just do. And when they want me, they holler."
Esk gravely gave the head goat a wisp of hay. Granny watched her thoughtfully. Goats did have names for themselves, she well knew. There was goat who is my kid, goat who is my mother, goat who is herd leader, and half a dozen other names, not least of which was goat who is this goat. They had a complicated herd system and four stomachs and a digestive system that sounded very busy on still nights. And Granny had always felt that calling all this names like Buttercup was an insult to a noble animal.
"Esk," she said, making up her mind.
"Yes?"
"What would you like to be when you grow up?"
Esk looked blank. "Don't know."
"Well," said Granny, her hands still milking, "what do you think you will do when you're grown up?"
"Don't know. Get married, I suppose."
"Do you want to?"
Esk's lips started to shape themselves around the D, but she caught Granny's eye and stopped and thought, "All the grown-ups I know are married," she said at last, and thought some more.
"Except you," she added cautiously.
"That's true,"
said Granny.
"Didn't you want to get married?
It was Granny's turn to think.
Never got around to it, she said at last. Too many other things to do, you see.
Father says you're a witch, said Esk, chancing her arm.
I am that.
Esk nodded. In the Ramtops, witches were accorded a status similar to that which other cultures gave to nuns, or tax collectors, or cesspit cleaners. That is to say, they were respected, sometimes admired, generally applauded for doing a job which logically had to be done, but people never felt quite comfortable in the same room with them. Granny said,
Would you like to learn the witching?
Magic, you mean? Asked Esk, her eyes lighting up.
Yes, magic, but not firework magic, real magic.
Can you fly?
There's better things than flying.
And I can learn them?
If your parents say yes.
Esk sighed. My father won't.
Then I shall have a word with him, said Granny. Now you listen to me, Gordo Smith.
Smith backed away across his forge, hands half raised to ward off the old woman's fury. She advanced on him, one finger stabbing the air righteously.
I brought you into the world, you stupid man, and you've got no more sense in you now than you had then.
But...
Smith tried, dodging around the anvil.
The magic's found her. Wizard magic. Wrong magic. Do you understand? It was never intended for her.
Yes, but...
Have you any idea of what it can do?
Smith sagged.
No.
Granny paused and deflated a little.
No,
she repeated more softly.
No, you wouldn't.
She sat down on the anvil and tried to think calm thoughts.
Look, magic has a sort of life of its own. That doesn't matter, because, anyway, you see, wizard magic...
She looked up at his big blank expression and tried again.
Well, you know cider?
Smith nodded. He felt he was on firmer ground here, but he wasn't certain of where it was going to lead.
And then there's the liquor, Applejack,
said the witch. The smith nodded. Everyone in Badass made Applejack in the winter, by leaving cider tubs outside overnight and taking out the ice until a tiny core of alcohol was left.
Well, you can drink lots of cider and you just feel better and that's it, isn't it?
The smith nodded again.
But Applejack, you drink that in little mugs and you don't drink a lot and you don't drink it often because it goes right to your head.
The smith nodded again and... aware that he wasn't making a major contribution to the dialogue, added,
That's right.
That's the difference, said Granny.
The difference from what?
Granny sighed.
The difference between witch magic and wizard magic, she said. And it's found her, and if she doesn't control it, then there are those who will control her. Magic can be a sort of door, and there are unpleasant things on the other side. Do you understand?
The smith nodded. He didn't really understand, but he correctly surmised that if he revealed this fact, Granny would start going into horrible details.
She's strong in her mind, and it might take a while,
said Granny.
But sooner or later, they'll challenge her.
Smith picked up a hammer from his bench, looked at it as though he'd never seen it before, and put it down again.
But,
he said,
if it's wizard magic she's got, learning witchery won't be any good, will it? You said they're different.
They're both magic. If you can't learn to ride an elephant, you can at least learn to ride a horse.
What's an elephant?
A kind of badger.
said Granny. She hadn't maintained Forrest's credibility for 40 years by ever admitting ignorance. The blacksmith sighed. He knew he was beaten. His wife had made it clear that she favoured the idea, and now that he came to think about it, there were some advantages. After all, Granny wouldn't last forever, and being father to the area's only witch might not be too bad at that.
All right,
he said. And so, as the winter turned and started the long, reluctant climb towards spring, Esk spent days at a time with Granny Weatherwax, learning witchcraft. It seemed to consist mainly of things to remember. The lessons were quite practical. There was cleaning the kitchen table and basic herbalism. There was mucking out the goats and the use of fungi. There was doing the washing and the summoning of the small gods. And there was always tending the big copper still in the scullery and the theory and practice of distillation. By the time the warm rim winds were blowing and the snow remained only as little streaks of slush on the hub side of trees, Esk knew how to prepare a range of ointments, several medicinal brandies, a score of special infusions, and a number of mysterious potions that Granny said she might learn the use of in good time. What she hadn't done was any magic at all.
All in good time, repeated Granny vaguely.
But I'm supposed to be a witch.
You're not a witch yet. Name me 3 herbs good for the bowels.
Esk put her hands behind her back, closed her eyes and said,
The flowering tops of greater peahane, the root pith of old man's trousers, the stems of blood water lily, the seed cases of...
All right. Where may water gherkins be found?
Peat bogs and stagnant pools from the months of...
Good. You're learning.
But it's not magic.
Granny sat down at the kitchen table.
Most magic isn't, she said. It's just knowing the right herbs and learning to watch the weather and finding out the ways of animals and the ways of people, too.
That's all it is, said Esk, horrified.
All? It's a pretty big all, said Granny. But no, it isn't all. There's other stuff.
Can't you teach me?
All in good time. There's no call to go showing yourself yet.
Showing myself? Who to?
Granny's eyes darted towards the shadows in the corners of the room.
Never you mind.
Then even the last lingering tales of snow had gone, and the spring gales roared around the mountains. The air in the forest began to smell of leaf mould and turpentine. A few early flowers braved the night frosts, and the bees started to fly.
Now bees, said Granny Weatherwax, is real magic.
She carefully lifted the lid of the first hive.
Your bees, she went on, is your mead, your wax, your bee gum, your honey. A wonderful thing is your bee, ruled by a queen too, she added with a touch of approval.
Don't they sting you?
Said Esk, standing back a little. Bees boiled out of the comb and overflowed the rough wooden sides of the box.
Hardly ever, said Granny. You wanted magic? Watch.
She put her hand into the struggling mass of insects and made a shrill, faint, piping noise at the back of her throat. There was a movement in the mass, and a large bee, longer and fatter than the others, crawled onto her hand. A few workers followed it, stroking it and generally ministering to it.
How did you do that?
Said Esk.
Ah,
said Granny.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would. That's why I asked, Granny,
said Esk severely.
Do you think I used magic?
Esk looked down at the queen bee. She looked up at the witch.
No, she said. I think you just know a lot about bees.
Granny grinned.
Exactly correct. That's one form of magic, of course.
What? Just knowing things?
Knowing things that other people don't know, said Granny.
She carefully dropped the queen back among her subjects and closed the lid of the hive.
And I think it's time you learned a few secrets, she added.
At last, thought Esk.
But first, we must pay our respects to the hive, said Granny.
She managed to sound the capital H. Without thinking, Esk bobbed a curtsy. Granny's hand clipped the back of her head.
Bow, I told you, she said without rancor. Witches bow, she demonstrated.
But why? Complained Esk.
Because witches have got to be different, and that's part of the secret, said Granny.